Reading is in the book of Colossians in chapter 3, and that is on page 1184 if you're using the church Bible. Page 1184. Colossians chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 12 to verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. O faithful God, we worship you. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to what you promised even back then to Noah. Lord, that faithfulness is still witnessed today in our age. Lord, we thank you, we worship you. And we pray, Lord, that as we think of thankfulness this morning, that you will impress this upon us and teach us to become more and more thankful for all that you give. Hear us then, O God, our God, we pray, in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning at this, our Harvest Thanksgiving, we are giving thanks to God for all his provision for our need, for giving us our daily bread, for all the good things, the good gifts he gives us day after day. And this is a bit like Christmas, you know. We're meant to do this every day. We're meant to thank God every day for the fact that his son came into our world. We do it particularly so at Christmas time. We're meant to thank God every day of the week for all that he gives us every day of the week. You think of what the Apostle James writes in James 1, chapter 17. He says, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father. Our Father in heaven is good. And so whatever he gives to us, in a sense, they're expressions of himself. He blesses us with expressions of his love, expressions of his kindness towards us. We are so often soaked with God's showers of blessings coming down upon us day after day. And yet, if we can be honest with ourselves this morning, we so often just take him for granted. Every day we live and we breathe, we just take and experience and enjoy God's kindness. We so regularly go through the day and forget to consciously acknowledge the giver and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me this. And so today, particularly so today, we want to thank the Lord our God. And of course, we do so in imitation of what the Israelites did. One of the main Jewish festivals of the year was the Feast of Weeks. 50 days or so after the Jewish Passover festival, they would hold another festival called the Festival of Weeks. And you read of that in Deuteronomy chapter 16. But by that time, God's people of old, they would have gathered in their harvest. And so they would gather together there in Jerusalem to give thanks, basically to have a party. We're not having a party this morning, not yet, maybe. But they would come together to celebrate. Not a somber thing, but an exuberant thing. A great time of celebration and thankfulness for God's goodness towards them. At the temple, they would make their various offerings, grain offerings, drink offerings. They would offer up animal sacrifices to God. But it was all a joyful festival of feasting and giving thanks to God, thanking Him for the harvest that He had given them, and that by now all had been safely gathered in. It was also a time for them to give back to the Lord a freewill offering, a measure of what they had received from God. They gave back to Him as an expression of thanks for the temple to remain open, to pay for the priests and so forth. They gave back because God had first given to them. So we can well imagine the scene in Jerusalem, presuming the Lord had blessed them with a harvest. And I stress the word presuming, because sometimes He didn't. God had said that if they went off from Him in sin, then their harvests would fail. But presuming that God had been merciful and gracious to them, then the city would be full of the sounds of joy, the sounds of celebration, with the whole of the community of God's people coming together as one body, sharing their food with one another, but together thankful for all that God had given them. That festival, we then suppose, is the basis of this, our harvest thanksgiving, of us having gathered in, as it were, the year's harvest, and then we ourselves coming together like this morning to give thanks, to specifically think and give thanks to God for all that He has given to us. Now, I don't know how many of you are farmers. I don't know if any of you even have a vegetable plot. Oh, one or two have. But the question is, well, how relevant is this then to us in our day? Well, the principle is very relevant for us in our day, because each of us is to take stock of God's provision for our needs, our annual provision or our daily provision for our needs, but whether we are in paid employment, in the office or in the school, whatever that may be, or maybe we're on benefits, or maybe we're now living off a pension, but we are all still able to pause and think and give thanks to God for all His goodness. Remembering that it is Him. He has given us all that we need for each day that we live. So first of all, let's look at the need to give thanks. Why is there such a need to thank God? Well, because it's the right thing to do. It is the right thing for us to do. And I don't mean that because of our manners. You know how it's good manners to say thank you. And so we would teach our children, or we would teach our grandchildren, to say thank you after you give them something. It's the right thing to do because it's God who gave it. Whatever it is He gave you, you can give thanks to Him for it. It's because our Creator, the one who made us, the one in fact who we grieve, we offend with our sin and rebellion, but who still mercifully provides for us. It's Him. He gives us each day our daily bread. And so the right thing to do, the righteous thing for God's people to do, is to thank him. As Paul tells us there in Colossians 3, to be thankful, verse 15. To be grateful, verse 16. To give thanks to God, verse 17. But for God's people to register and to recognize before the Lord, our Father in heaven, it's you who give me whatever it is you've given me. As someone says, God's giving deserves our thanksgiving. It's you, God, you who are under no obligation to do this for me, but it's you who has filled my fridge again this week. It's you who has provided my finances to pay that bill. Sure, I may have gone to work. I may have earned the salary, but even that is only because of the gifts and the talents that you gave me. Friends, to give thanks to God is always the right thing to do. But we live in a culture which is different to that. We live in such a self-centered culture, a self-congratulating culture. You know how it is, you achieve some sort of success, and typically what you hear is, oh, you ought to be so proud of yourself. Oh, what you did there was fantastic. Well done. And in some sense, that's okay. It's encouraging to hear you did well. But then what happens is that our sinful nature takes that praise and runs with it. We become full of pride. Our heads swell up and we make ourselves out to be more than what we really are. We take the glory and we thank ourselves rather than thanking the Lord our God who gives us the ability to do what we have done. That was the potential problem the Lord could see with the Israelites. The Lord knew that when he would bring them into the promised land, into that land he described to them as a land flowing with milk and honey, that's when he knew that their hearts would run away from him. And so Moses warns them, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, be careful, he says. In other words, you're likely to do this. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you today. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then, he says, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, Moses says, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. That forgetting of God is the natural instinct of a sinful human heart. When we take and we benefit from everything that God gives to us, but over time, we slowly but surely, we come to say to ourselves, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. The New Living Translation puts it very clear. It says, I have achieved all this wealth with my own strength and energy. And that is what the Israelites were warned of. And that is typically what the unbeliever still does today. You read, for example, in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, although they knew God, they never glorified God nor gave thanks to Him. But as William Gurnall writes, thanksgiving is an act of self-denial. Thanksgiving is an act of self-denial. When we don't give thanks to God, we're rebelling against Him, just like an unbeliever would. Not giving thanks to God indeed robs God of the glory He deserves as God. Not recognizing the Lord as the giver of all that we have belittles Him. And any of us who are parents here this morning, we know what that feels like. When we give and give to our children, we do this and that for our children, and when they don't say, thank you, Mom, or thank you, Dad, you know what that feels like, don't you? Well, magnify that a zillion times over toward God, the one who gives you day after day after day after day, because He loves you with an abounding love. When we feel to say thank you, we're belittling our God. At the very least, it's rude. It's disrespectful. At worst, it's blasphemous. It may even lead to apostasy when we don't give thanks to God. So we give thanks because it is the righteous thing to do, and it ensures God is given the glory. Secondly, let's note the need for us to take stock of God's provision. I don't think we sing it here, but maybe you're aware of that old hymn, Count Your Many Blessings. And as you go through that old hymn, each verse there, it describes some state of depression. For example, when you're overwhelmed by life and all its circumstances, you become discouraged. Or when you're feeling the burden of living as a Christian in this world and you're looking at how other people live, people who don't know the Lord, and they seem so happy, they seem so content without Jesus. And so you're tempted to ask yourself the question, is it really worth it? What's the point of living this life if others who don't know Jesus seemingly are fine without Jesus? And the course to the hymn reminds us, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings and see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. It's that last line I want us to just think about for a few minutes. That when we pause and when we take stock of God's blessings, when we think, when we count them off and name them and recognize them, we will be surprised what the Lord has actually done for us. The argument in the hymn there is that we would be surprised because we have forgotten the measure of God's giving. Maybe we've had them for so long now, we've had them so often now, but we've taken each blessing of our Heavenly Father for granted. Maybe we've experienced them so often that we've become immune to the joy of receiving them. The daily experiences that we go through, like washing our face, like boiling the kettle, like opening the cupboard and there is food, opening the fridge door and there is milk. And without thinking, we just take it, we just do it, and we move on. We're so used to experiencing these things that God has given us in our lives. Maybe even just to get yourself a drink of water. We used to have one of those big American fridge freezers that gave out filtered and chilled water. Do you ever know of them? And there was one stage where I had to replace the filter. I think it was broken, so I had to order a new one. We had to wait 2 days for it. And so for 2 days, we had to drink ordinary water. I mean, it was awful. It really was. Or maybe it's a bit like the Israelites and how they were with the manna that God gave them, that special food from heaven. Day after day, the Lord provided for them this bread from heaven. This was all they needed. It was like a daily multivitamin tablet plus more. But this is what God gave them day by day, faithfully, day by day, to keep them alive as they went through the barren wilderness. And as you read that account, in my mind, I imagine them opening up the tent door and looking out and seeing all the manna and thinking, whoa, what's this? And the kids go out with the saucepans, they scrape it all up and, hey, everything's, this is wonderful, this is so exciting what God has done for us. But then as that happens day after day, it becomes less exciting, less surprising. In fact, when you follow through the story of the Israelites, it comes to the point where they eventually grow to hate the stuff. We're fed up with this stuff that God faithfully gives us day after day because he loves us. What they showed in their ungratefulness was because of their sinful hearts. In principle, the same sinful heart that you and I have. And when we become used to God's blessing, we too can become ungrateful. We become too used to God's standard of blessing. We can even become discontent. We think that we're hard done by when our fridge freezer breaks down and we have to go to the tap to get a glass of water. And yet the wonderful thing about how God is towards us and his mercies towards us, they begin anew every morning. Think of that wonderful verse of Lamentations 3, verse 22. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. So even though, yes, we so often take God for granted, still he cares for us. Still he keeps his covenant promises to all his believing people and gives us each day our daily bread. But wouldn't it be wonderful for us to somehow grasp afresh the measure of God's goodness to us, like it was for the first time? Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to catch again with honest thankfulness for every new day? To fill our mouths with the same old porridge in the morning and say thank you, and honestly say thank you, Lord, for feeding me again today. Or to open your wardrobe, to go into your bedroom, open your wardrobe, or if you're a teenager, look on the floor and see all your clothes and say thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for all that you've given me. Lord, please will you continue to give me each day my daily bread. Friends, we need to take stock of God's kindness, his goodness to us. Yes, to count his blessings, to recognize his open hand in our lives. And to remember, as we've been singing, how all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. So thank the Lord for all his love. And then thirdly, as we close, we need to note our need for a proper perspective. A proper perspective. Because whilst God certainly does give us all these good things for our enjoyment, these are things only meant for today, for the here and now. One day we will leave all of this behind. I'm sure you've heard of the old story of the hymn sung at a funeral We sang it very recently at a Thanksgiving service. It's the funeral of a rather wealthy bank manager. And they were singing the hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." And they made a typo in the order of service. So when they came to the third verse, instead of singing, "Land me safe on Canaan's side," they sang, "Land my safe on Canaan's side." But you see, we can't take our money with us. We can't take with us whatever it was, because that was only given to us for here and now. It was only meant to be temporal. That was God's design in giving it to us. Whatever measure of wealth or well-being you have now, it's only meant for now. It's only meant for your use and your enjoyment and in your service to God now. And so we need to apply that reminder to every area of our lives. Whether it's in your employment or you're in your hobbies, your health. But we need to remember that when we take our last breath, when we take our final breath, all of those things which are such a great benefit to us now, all of those things which today bring us great joy, bring us real pleasure now, on the last day, that last day for us, they'll mean nothing to us, especially if you're a Christian. We need to learn to look at these good things with a proper perspective. God only gave them to you to help you as you journey towards eternity. And so you think of what the Lord Jesus said to that crowd who he fed the previous day. In John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus fed a crowd of over 5,000 people. They were satisfied. They had ate all they wanted. The next day, they come looking again for Jesus. As the story goes, they come looking not because they want to become followers of Jesus now, but because they want their stomachs filling again today. Their perspective was entirely temporal. Their perspective was purely for the here and now. And so Jesus turns and tells them in John 6:26, he says, "You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. But don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you." And so the crowd asks Jesus, "Well, what should we do then?" And Jesus replies, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." Believe in and follow after the one God sent, the only one who can give you eternal life, Jesus. That is the perspective that every one of us here this morning needs to have. To not be overly concerned about perishable things like food or clothing, or about what we'll eat or drink or what we will wear and so forth. Those things are obviously important. But in the scale of things, compared with eternity, we always need to remember that one day they won't matter a bit to us. One day all that will matter is, did you believe in Jesus? That's all that will matter one day. Did you believe in the Son of God? Have you received the gift of eternal life that only He, the Lord Jesus, can give? That's the perspective we need today when we thank God for all the good things He gives us each day. They're only meant for each day. But Jesus is the greatest gift God gives. The gift for today, but the gift that never perishes. The gift for all eternity, for all who will believe. And so my prayer for you today is that you receive this gift of Jesus Christ. What Paul describes as God's indescribable gift. He's so precious. He's so wonderful to those who receive Him as their own. He's the one who died for you. He's the one who died on the cross for your sins, who paid the penalty for your sins. He did it out of love for you. He died and he rose again 3 days later. And those who come to him repenting of their unthankfulness, repenting of their ingratitude, repenting and turning to Jesus Christ, he forgives. And he gives to them eternal life. So I hope your knowledge of Jesus is real. It's personal. It's experiential. I hope you know him day by day as your Savior for each day and for all of eternity. Let's pray again.